love isn't to allow people to harm you. It isn't to accept abuse. It isn't to internalize the pain of others. And it isn't to be burdened by those who are not capable or unwilling to carry their own weight. Love is recognizing the very best part of who you are and then developing it in a way that will increase your willingness to serve the community. And teaching the community, you have to teach the community how to be served. Because service oftentimes is identified as a weakness. So it's recognizing that you want to create space where people can develop into leadership roles, and you want them to recognize their own value and to be able to understand that they have their own light to present and to connect with others in a way where there isn't this struggle to try to harness. You know, I keep thinking about Prometheus bound, and the idea of flying too close to the sun or the desire to want to harness light that I think that our community struggles with. And so, you know, how do you get them to see their own value and to not try to sabotage themselves and to reduce as much as they possibly can, hierarchical ideas about how to view themselves in relationship to others. So love for me is being able to reveal through my own practices that we don't have to harm one another to lead. We don't have to harm one another to lead. That it can be horizontal. I think it's a struggle. I think it's a struggle for most people. Like white consciousness is so embedded in us. I think I've come to understand that more with this project than I ever have in teaching. And so, loving myself in a way that allows for me to not be harmed or not be hurt by people's intentions, and really being able to create perspectives and understanding the various levels of illnesses that we display that really is not who we are as a people, but it's the sickness that has to be illuminated in order for individuals to decide if they want to relinquish it.
This, the ability to witness the best parts of yourself, like you said, mm-hmm. nourish them. How does that relate to that definition? How does that relate to your relationship with your significant other?
Well, definitely I see Malik as my mirror, right? You know, he's my male mirror, and he's so strong, and he loves the community. I've never seen a black man up close in this way love the community. He's relentless, right? His love is relentless. And then he has a very strong sense of humor around, you know, how that love isn't always reciprocal. And I appreciate that. So he creates levity with it, although he's dealing with the community in a much more severe way than I am. I am at a place through art that allows for that elevation of consciousness and spirit to happen very quickly. He's really working with the community, you know, and at the, you know, in some ways, you know, at that street level, you know, where it's far more challenging than it is for me, is the best way I can put it. And so being able to see his effortless relationship to the community helps me to mirror my own. Yeah.
About that same definition, nourishing the good, how does that relate to the relationship that you had with your parents?
Oh, well, you know, I have to first talk about their names, you know. So Malik means king, and Seneferu means, Malik Haru means king god, and Seneferu means great counselor. So I always begin my class that way. You know, I say my name is Karen Seneferu, which means great counselor. My husband's name is Malik Haru Seneferu, king god, great counselor. And then I said, and my father's name on his birth certificate is King David, and my mother's name is Justine. So I said, I came from a king and I married a king. And my mother's name for me means justice or just, you know, being just with people. And she had always been that way. You know, even when I think about myself as a child, she was one that didn't allow for us to stare at people if we saw them having some kind of, you know, physical disability. She was always just very sensitive to how people treated her and her children. She wouldn't allow for injustice towards her or her children. She's very demanding about being treated with respect. And so, whereas my father, you know, was a very tall man, a very handsome man, and, you know, kind of carried this very aggressive presence. Like he came from Texas and he didn't take a lot of shit from anybody. My father was just serious. His name was King David. He meant that. Whereas Malik, in some ways, is a very soft spirit of that presence. And my father fell in love with Malik right away. I mean, they just fell in love with each other. And so when I combine those two spirits, you know, there's somebody that's very tough and very aggressive with this woman who's very tender and very just, but very demanding of respect. Like, all of that I try to project in myself, and I try to convey that to my community, you know, whether it's the students at the campus or it's the women in the project. I think in terms of the women in the project, I try to even make my edges more rounder, more softer, you know, because it means a lot when you take on a project called The Black Woman is God, and you say that out loud, the vibration is going to create challenges for you to help you either determine if you really want to walk in that light or if you decide you probably need to recede a little bit and build something up before you can, you know, really stand tall in it. So it's not just a saying. And once you say it, it creates a vibration, and that vibration creates realities for you that will challenge, you know, the very nature of that idea. And it can happen on multiple fronts. And so when I think about my mother and father's name, and I think about what they've taught me as a woman and as somebody with strength and kindness, you know, my name is Karen Caraway. My maiden name is Karen Caraway, and people always have said there's a lot of care in that name. You know, I ride with that. You know, so I'm putting all that together as a great counselor, somebody whose name represents loyalty, somebody whose name represents justice, and someone whose name represents, you know, tenderness and kindness, despite people's inability to have it for themselves. Yeah.
Very true, given the community that we're in.
Yeah.
And before we get to the community part, same question. Nurturing the good within your offspring and even your grandchildren.
Oh.
How do you do that?
Oh, my goodness.
How do you love them?
Oh, man. Oh, I love my grandchildren. I love my grandchildren because I feel like And this must have been true. It's always been true.
I'm sorry, how many children do you have?
I have two sons. One I gave birth to, the other one I'm raising with Malik. Okay. I have two grandchildren.
Okay.
But I want to start with my grandchildren. Okay. Because I feel like they represent a different generation. They represent a different generation than my son and then myself, and certainly my siblings, my parents. I think we've been struggling for a number of generations to get a footing and to get a sense of our direction and to not be pulled by the social ills of our communities. Whereas my grandchildren, there's a different reality for them. Like, there's a different bloodline that's happening, I feel. it's the only way I can explain it. Where they're just moving straight ahead, like they're piercing obstacles and are going around them, or something's happening that I just have never experienced before in my relationship with my son, or my oldest son, or in my relationship with my son who's at CCAC, or Malik, or myself, or my siblings. We've all struggled, just like has these enormous struggles. But I feel like my grandchildren, they've had struggles too, but there's something like they're piercing some kind of, they've made it into those portals that we weren't aware of until we became adults. They're walking through those as children. So I just love, being able to support them. Like, my granddaughter comes with me to all of the Black Women is God exhibitions, and she knows what it means to be seen as a princess. I said, well, you get all this love as a princess, but you're growing up to be a queen, so when you become a queen, then you're going to be serving. And I said, that's your responsibility. Your responsibility isn't like to sit somewhere in a chair and people give you things and you're honored in that manner. I said, when people start calling you a queen, it's because they recognize a particular kind of strength that seems like it's beyond something else other than the only thing that they can identify as queen. I've never identified myself as that. People have always identified me as that. So we talk about that. She and I talk about that. And she loves the turf dancer. So, what can you do? My granddaughter fell in love with iDummy and Brandon of Slow Motion. She saw them doing the isolation of their arms, which she can do with her arms and legs, and she fell in love. So she said, I want to meet them. Not, would you like me to introduce them to you? So she's coming in contact with culture and art and has been creating since she was not even one. So she has a different relationship. My grandson, he's into robotics, he's into programming, he's into art. He's 14, he has an internship at the Cantor office down the street. Getting paid $20 an hour. He had an internship where he worked on putting together robots when he's 13. That was last year. And then he has a job interview with a gaming company in October. So he's on a different frequency, And so for me, I just try to support their frequency. So I wouldn't say they're mirroring me so much as they have picked up their own mirrors and they're projecting themselves into the future in ways it's new to me. So I'm learning it as I go along. This is some other reality that the ancestors want for us. So, yeah.
And your children, how do you exhibit that love for them?
How do I exhibit that? Well, I think I'm kind of tough on the boys. I'm sure Osase would say, I'm tough on him. He'll be 19 in October. And I know my son, who's 30, he'll be 39 this year. Anytime that he's been in the house with Osase and I'm talking, he's like, you know, Mom, you're being tough on him. Like he used to be on me. And that comes from being a single parent. You know, and then growing up during the 80s, where crack was everywhere and drive-by shootings were everywhere, and I was a scared parent, where I'm not a scared grandparent. And so I think part of the, I've been tough and loving, but I think that the shift of being tough and loving can create, you know, dualistic mirrors. And so just being able to recognize that, and, you know, certainly with my son being able to go back at the age that he is now, and he and I being able to talk about those missing parts and the parts that hurt and the parts that need to heal. And so I love watching my 39-year-old son be a man, be a father, move from being really tough to being very nurturing and very loving and very supportive of his son, and even more gentle and loving towards his daughter, which means he's raising me. So I get to see my son be softer towards me than I was towards him. And I think in some ways that's a part of where the community is too, that he doesn't have to have the same anxiety that I had as a mother.
Given the changes in the community.
Given the changes of the community, but also given the recognition that we both have about what needs to happen in order for his children to be successful. You know, he needs, you know, he still needs the loving support of his mother.
And so that brings me to my final question. How do you show that love to the community?
Oh, I think the community would probably be better at answering that question than I would. I hope they know, I can only hope they know that I love them, and that my expression of that love is through the Black Woman is God, and that in creating the Black Woman is God, I didn't create it with the intention of saying that Black women are more valuable than Black men. For those who know some of the history of the nation, it's already understood that the Black man is God. What I wanted to do was establish why it is that Black women can endure and still rise and still be loving. And so the only thing I could come up with is that the Black woman is God. That's why we're able to do that. And so being able to see what's happening in the Bay Area politically, you know, seeing London Bree take office in San Francisco, now she's Mayor London Bree, the possibility of Kat Brooks becoming the mayor of Oakland, it reminds me of something Erica Huggins says: you can't have the politics last without the spirit. And so, you know, hopefully this shift will bring about better ways for the community, I'm hoping. So I can only hope the community knows that I love them.
Thank you.
Thank you too.